Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. The Reverend Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with the 8th verse. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to drink it, bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What a delightful text we have today in comparison to yesterday's text concerning Sodom. Yet both are important to us and for us to call to remembrance concerning God's wrath and mercy, but also how he keeps his word. Indeed, both are written for our instruction. In today's text, while showing the result of rebellion against God and his judgment on his rebellious people who refuse to hear the word of the Lord, there's a famine. There's going to be no rain. There will be a drought and a famine at the word of the Lord. But we also hear, specifically in our text today, that God is a God of compassion and provision. As the psalm we said earlier, the Lord watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. Yet he also cares for those people, even while they are scattered in a foreign land, of which we all are. As St. Peter reminds us that we are foreigners and aliens in this world. Now, our family has been back in this foreign land called America. This is my passport country. But we've been back in this foreign land for about a year now. I've lived in many foreign lands, not just Ethiopia or Kenya or California or Georgia. I have now lived in St. Louis twice. We are back in this foreign land. And for my family, it is still quite foreign as we learn to live here once again in America. Now, many of you have lived in the midst of the changes, noticing them daily, perhaps as you watch them on the news, yet living daily in the thick of them. And while we lived in another country, observing what was going on in our passport country and the changes going on from afar, we lived in a foreign land for 6 years that had become our homeland for 6 years, and now back to this foreign land once again. But all the while mindful that Christ had provided for us his many gifts, body and soul. And then all of a sudden, here we are, 1 year later, still in the thick of living in America, under the grace and provision of God. And we know that we're cared for, even as we still try to acclimate living in this country once again. And so such a scripture is a comfort not only for the missionary, but for us who are foreigners and exiles in this land as we wait the promised land. Now, in 1 Kings, we meet three people, Elijah and the Gentile widow. She's there with her son, but we don't hear a word from him. Elijah is fresh off delivering the word of the Lord to Ahab, where he says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word. While Scripture doesn't record for us at this point the reaction of Ahab and his wife Jezebel, we can only imagine, as we learn later, how well they love the prophets and the word of the Lord. So the Lord sends Elijah to the brook Cherith, where he would be provided for by him as the drought would ensue. God would command the ravens to feed Elijah. In the morning they would bring him bread and meat, and in the evening they would bring bread and meat, and that brook would be the place of water supply. And over the course of time, the drought prolonged, and the brook dried up, and it was time to move along. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." The Lord had been caring for Elijah, preserving him, providing for him, for his physical needs. And now the Lord would continue to do such a thing and care and expand that provision in another place. And so he sends Elijah to the widow. In such a few words, we can see that it's a desperate situation, as we hear from our text today. It's a very desperate situation in which Elijah is sent. The widow and her only son are preparing for their last meal. She is out collecting a couple of sticks. Mind you, only a couple, because there's no point in gathering a lot because she doesn't have much to cook. What's the point of wasting energy when you have very little and you only have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil for your last meal? It's truly desperate. She's down to her last bit. So Elijah goes to this woman and comes upon her, the one whom he has sent, been sent by God, asks for water. He's thirsty from that journey. And he asks for the woman to make him a small cake of bread, in which she tells him what she's going to do. This last meal for her son and for herself. "As the Lord your God lives," she says. In a sense, it's our last meal before we die. But here God steps into this woman's life through the prophet Elijah, and he has news for her. "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until that day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." It's a delightful little phrase, isn't it? Don't fear. We hear that most often in Scripture. It's a word we most often need to hear. A phrase said to Zechariah, or even Mary, the mother of our Lord. But here in this Gentile land, to a pious Gentile woman, do not fear. If she were to look around her, and even, you know, as she looks what's in her hands, which is very little, she's about to prepare for her last meal, she has nothing but fear. And now the word of the Lord comes to her. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. The Lord will provide. And here God does a miraculous thing, providing for her and for her son through the care and provision from and for Elijah, the prophet of God. These people also had no community. They had no consolation. And oh, how God shows that he's not a God of one territory, but God is the true God, the God of all things, who reaches far and wide to care not only for his prophet, but for the needs of a widow and an orphan and those who are most marginalized. Such must have been the source of strong consolation to Elijah, even in the hour of conflict, and even as he will again have the prophets of Baal and have Jezebel chasing after him. But yet here, such comfort, when his faith perhaps was trembling because of all the idolaters in the land, and here in this Gentile territory, the Lord himself raises up this one, and it brings encouragement to Elijah. But the believing widow received from the prophet not only material blessing for herself, but also the encouragement and spiritual blessing and encouragement of faith. Such is a narrative also for us to remember, that even as Christ our Lord tells his unbelieving Gentile rejecting contemporaries to their shame in Luke chapter 4 about this widow and her faith, Elijah was not sent to this widow in order that he might be safely hidden at her house, but because of her faith, namely, to strengthen and increase it, he was sent to her. And not to one of the many widows in Israel, but who perhaps would have received a prophet like him if they'd been rescued by him from the pressure of that famine, but to this widow in Zarephath. And then there was the miraculous increase of flour and oil that did not merely serve the purpose of keeping the prophet and the widow alive, but was for the relief of her bodily and spiritual, the strengthening of her faith in the living God. And in all of this, what is ironic is that the Gentile widow had something that lacked in Israel, the point Jesus made to his contemporaries. Yet, dear Christian, let us remember that this narrative is for us as well, that as we hear of God's provision for the widow and Elijah, we need not fear as well. While God has provided for our greatest need by his Son, by his conquering sin and death for us on the cross, we can also be comforted that our Lord provides for our daily needs of body and soul. We sang it in the hymn just prior, that he cares for us, cares so much that he would send his Son, but also daily provides all that we need for our body and soul in this life and the life to come. It's all part of, as well, the first article gifts of things we need for this world, but has provided even more on into the world to come. We live in this world, a world that we are but a resident alien. Just as God did not forget the widow of Zarephath or Elijah, his prophet, he has not forgotten you. There's a wonderful little saying that kept going through my head in the midst of this text. A wonderful little saying that was often said in Kenya, and most likely you've heard it, so bear with me for repeating it. But I recall this phrase coming off the lips of the widow, the orphan, in the schools in Kenya, living in the assurance that God knows their plight, knows their circumstance, and carries them through. It brings to mind that we can be assured that in our text today, as God cared for that widow and her son, as he cared for Elijah, we can be certain that he provides for us too. It's a little phrase that goes like this: God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And the Ringo girls that I served when I was in Kenya also added a little extra ditty, a third verse. Wow, God is wonderful. Many of those were orphans who lived there and were learning because someone provided for them, knowing as well God did as well. God is good all the time that God is good, and that's his nature. Wow, God is wonderful. I know I don't give it. It should be, wow, God is wonderful. Indeed, he is good. He's wonderful. And he daily provides all that we need for this life and the life to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.